broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No Doubt continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for October 27th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our 2 of 2, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Man, last hour was a barn burner broadcast. We had on Rudy Davis, ladies and gentlemen. Yearofjubilee.com, his website. And he says this for his website, and we say this for the last hour too: proceed only if you care about the unjustly incarcerated. Great, great hour. We talked about the fact that America, the United States, has only 5% of the world's population, but it's home of 25% of the world's prison population. What is up with that? We documented how it's intentional, and the United States has the greatest prison population in the world. Wow. Anyway, a lot of books we talked about. We talked about the solutions. We talked about a fully informed jury association. We talked about really prayer and fasting for these prisoners if you're a Bible-believing follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, no king but King Jesus is how we summarized, and really we've in America turned our back on God, family, and country, and we got to repent and change if we want to make a difference. All right, anyway, that's a recap just to plug that hour. The broadcast will be up right after the show. I'll get it up available as soon as I can with all the show notes, the links, and I'm telling you, folks, spread it far and wide. It's not about me, but it's critical that Americans understand this issue, and then we, as followers of Christ, help bear one another's burdens. And all I'm telling you is we got a lot of work there, folks. Wow. We'll keep up to date on that. We've covered these prisoners for, 25 years now? We were talking about former Congressman George Hansen, congressman back in the day, and he wrote an incredible book, To Harass Our People, The IRS and Government Abuse of Power, writes George Hansen. Anyway, long story, but I'm telling you, critical hour. All right, without further ado, we move to our guest now. His name is Gregory C. Dorden. And Gregory has been a businessman. He's been around for a long time. He's standing for the sacred cause of liberty. And, well, he's taking on the establishment, that's for sure. Greg, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you, Sam. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, give us a quick thumbnail of your growing up. And I know you were part of the, in high school and college and stuff like that. You were politically active. You were involved with Young Americans and more, right?
I was. In high school, Bran Ashworth, who some people may know as a document finder and lawyer in the Utah area, he works for several MLM companies as their general counsel. But he was our student body president in high school, and he said, "I'd like to form a Young American for Freedom chapter here," and he asked me to be the ramrod for it, and I took over as president, was elected as president of the chapter, and so I've been actively involved. I've campaigned for Republicans, Democrats, and all kinds of miscreants, as they would be called, third-party people. But it's been an interesting life. I got involved in the media after the military. I had a brief career in the military as a tail gunner on B-52s and as a unit historian, which was a journalism-related occupation because I was writing quarterly histories for Air Force Unit, the 1st TAC Fighter Wing in Langley, Virginia, the Air Force Base, not the CIA headquarters. But after I got my discharge, I came back. I'd been writing a hobby column on doing heraldry and family history, questions and answer kind of a column. And it got me into the newspaper business. I became a reporter, editor, even owned a couple of papers in the Utah area, worked in Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, California, over a 40-plus year career. And after I retired, after watching politics for over 45 years and covering city and county and state governments, I said, somebody needs to fix this mess. And so I hopped in with both feet, and I'm running for Congress in the 3rd District of Utah. I want to go back and get our federal government more in line with the proper role of government and with correct principles.
All right, so let's talk about the details here first. So you mentioned that you've kind of ran for, or you've encouraged people to run and backed people for, you know, Republican, Democrat, and et cetera. But, you know, as time goes on, we all start out kind of a Republican or a Democrat based on what our parents did, maybe, or maybe what our best friend recommends or something like that. You know, we all kind of start out a little bit innocent. The problem is, you know, when you see what's going on around you, you grow up quickly, don't you?
Unfortunately, when you observe the difference between the parties, and there's, after 40 years, I say that the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats are like flipping a coin over. They're the opposite sides of the same corrupt coin of re-elect me, not following principles or concepts or ideas, or even being accountable to their voters, really. They just want to be reelected to reform their little power structure, and probably the poster child of this is Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah, who's been in the Senate for 40-some years, and he started off when he first ran against Frank Moss. His mantra was 12 years is enough, but he's been there 40 years. So obviously his mantra changed over the years.
All right. It's important to understand, ladies and gentlemen, who's who. So who are you running against?
The incumbent is a brand new freshman congressman. His name is John Curtis. He was the mayor of Provo, Utah.
And this guy was basically a longtime political guy. He just kind of went up through the good old boy ranks, didn't he?
Well, I actually campaigned with him in 2000. He had jumped from the Republican Party over to the Democrat Party, and at that time I was being a Democrat, a very blue-dog conservative Democrat, but still had a D after my name. And he had jumped from the Republican Party to the Democrat Party because the Republicans wouldn't let his name be nominated for the state Senate, which was an open seat. They had already anointed Kurt Bramble as their candidate, the leadership's candidate. And so he wanted to run against Kurt Bramble. And he did, unsuccessfully, and he took the chairmanship of the Utah County Democratic Party for a few years and then ran for a couple of different seats. And when the mayor seat came up for the city of Provo in, I think it was 2007, or 2008, he won that seat, and he's been the mayor, past mayor of Provo for two terms for 8 years. So he's already tried and true. But when he left the mayor's seat, he joined again the Republican Party and was looked at askance and a little bit by some of the Republicans, but he ran last year for the Jason Chaffetz seat in District 3 of Utah. People across the nation may remember Jason Chaffetz is the co-chair of the government relations committee in Congress, and he had a few interesting investigations into various things, one of which was Hillary Clinton's emails and little things like that that didn't get much coverage at all.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's critical. You're running on what, the Independent American Party?
Yes, I've been a member of the Independent American Party for several years now, and I really found a home. A good conservative party believes in restoring the republic back to the founders' original intent and principles. We believe in a stricter interpretation of the Constitution, believing more in the Jeffersonian interpretation rather than the Hamilton interpretation of a looser concept and a broader view of what terms like general welfare is and that kind of thing. So,
the Independent American Party, ladies and gentlemen, is really not about party. It's about principle. We'll come back and talk about that a little bit. You are listening to Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. We're talking about running for office, folks. Greg Reardon doing it. Third District for Congress in the state of Utah.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
Greg Reardon on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, running for Utah's 3rd District for Congress on the Independent American Party. And the Independent American Party is absolutely focused on principle, ladies and gentlemen, not politics or party. And they talk about the proper role of government. We don't have that at the state or federal level these days, Greg.
No, we really don't. We don't have any government that's a good example, even here in the state of Utah. Right and wrong is a moral principle, and that never changes. And these principles are applicable and relatable to any situation, whether it's a simple deal we're working on or a complicated problem. And there's always the right and wrong to every question. Unfortunately, in politics, they don't look at it that way. It's, what can you do for me? What have you done lately? How can I take advantage of this situation? Not what is the best thing for the people. And that's what I would like to change in government. Get government doing its proper work. The most important function of government is to secure the rights and liberties and freedoms of individual citizens. Thomas Jefferson said, "Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are of the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with his wrath?" And that's what we don't have in government. They don't see any consequences. November 6th, every single year, is a chance for the voters to get out and limit the terms of the elected officials. If they're not doing the good job, get them out. Vote them away. Don't allow them to further corrupt the system. And that's what third parties are all about, passing the blessings around of leadership and allowing others to get in there and reform the swamp that we have. And it's not just inside the Washington Beltway. It's at every Capitol Hill in the country. There are corrupt politicians that are only worried about getting reelected and fundraising for their reelection campaigns. Every congressman has a daily goal of raising $10,000 a day. So unfortunately, voters, your congressman, the people from your delegation are not full-time representatives. They are full-time fundraisers and part-time representatives of you in the U.S. government.
And then let's be clear on top of that, though. Not only are they full-time fundraisers, part-time working for who knows who, you know what? The lobbyists and those kind of people get first crack at them, too. So you know what? The people who elect them are way down the list when it comes to really getting time. I can't even get my congressman to meet with me, to talk with me on the phone without a real struggle. Even if I go to Washington, D.C., and I've done this, I've literally flown to Washington, D.C., literally knocked on their door and said, "Hey, can I see the congressman?" I've even tried in advance to schedule an appointment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's almost impossible to even get an appointment or discuss anything with your congressman, even if you try. Even if you're like, and I'm not trying to say I'm important, but even if you're a nationally syndicated talk show host, even if you've got a name. For example, Richard Mack goes with me to Washington a lot, and he beat Bill Clinton to the Supreme Court, for crying out loud. A nationally syndicated talk show host, and a man that beat Bill Clinton to the Supreme Court, the only person to ever do so, not over a sexual matter. This was over the Brady Bill and gun control. But you put us two together, we can't even get appointments hardly.
And that's unfortunate, because who's the one that put them into office? The voters. They
that's
should
right.
be the top priority, not the lobbyists who are buying influence.
All right, so one of the keys to your campaign is the 15 principles of good government. That's kind of a guideline that you subscribe to, you and the Independent American Party, that sets you apart from the rest, Greg.
It really does. You can look at the platforms of any party. The IAP, Independent American Party, does have a platform online at independentamericanparty.org. You can see it there, or iaputah.com. Those are the national and the state websites. But you can also find these 15 principles that say God has endowed men with certain unalienable rights as set forth in the Declaration of Independence, and no legislative and no majority, however great, can morally limit or destroy these, that the sole function of government is to protect. Radical concept here, but this is a direct quote. The sole function of government is to protect life, liberty, and property. Who who really says that anymore? That's what the founders wrote the Constitution and the Declaration to reinforce. But we don't hear that from our leaders anymore. Life, liberty, and property, or life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which is defined as being the property rights, we don't hear that because every one of those has been eroded and corrupted, and we no longer have the right of life, liberty, and property in the United States, unfettered.
That is scary stuff when you think about it, ladies and gentlemen. But the 15 principles to the proper role of government, I think is key because I think it takes it out of this idea of partisan politics. I think it takes it out of idea that, hey, just let's think about Sam Bushman's ideas or Greg Dorton's ideas or, you know, the next guy that thinks he's got the best fix. This creates a standard when we think about the proper role of government and the 15 principles to good government. Give us a little bit of a highlight of what some of that entails, because I don't think people are familiar enough with this.
Well, this actually came from a talk from the Honorable Ezra Taft Benson, the former Secretary of Agriculture under the Eisenhower administration, a very politically astute individual. He was very active in the post-World War II, helping with the Marshall Plan, getting Europe back on its feet after World War II, and helping a very great humanitarian effort that the whole nation put forward. But these principles, like one that says, we believe it a violation of the Constitution to deprive the individual of either life, liberty, or property, except for a couple of things: punishing crimes to provide administration of justice and protect the right and control of private property. And here's a radical one in this day and age: to wage defensive war. The last defensive war that we had was World War II. And some argue that that was more a put-up job. World War II has its own conspiracy theories floating around about it. But we hereby resolve...
But nevertheless, to your point, at least it was a declared war, right?
It was a declared war, which we have not had since, really. And none of the actions in the Middle East have really been defensive wars of our nation, of our national security. And people may argue, well, 9/11 was an attack on this country, so therefore we have to go and destroy ISIS, Al-Qaeda. Guys, we created ISIS and Al-Qaeda. We funded Osama bin Laden for years, and he's the one that created Al-Qaeda and ISIS came out of. So we have directly caused and brought about Al-Qaeda and ISIS to our own detriment, and maybe further looking into the short-term future, even further on. But these principles have a lack of following these principles have brought us to the mess that we're in right now.
All right, Gregory Dorton with us, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the proper role of limited government. We're talking about accountability and integrity of Utah's elected officials. Gregory Dorton's running for the 3rd District in the state of Utah for Congress. Independent American Party, ladies and gentlemen. Back in seconds.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay. Abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
We're talking to Gregory C. Dorden. GregoryC.Dorden.us, his website. He's running on the Independent American Party ticket for the 3rd Congressional District of Utah. And we're talking about the proper role of government. We don't have that in America, it seems today, sadly, fellow Americans. We're talking about the 15 Principles to Good Government, written by former Secretary of Agriculture Ezra Taft Benson. And, you know, Gregory talks about full-time representation, question mark. And these folks are instructed to raise $10,000 a day and make sure they get elected. So they spend most of their time as fundraisers and a little bit of their time in Congress. But even when they spend their time in Congress, they're too busy voting and or talking to lobbyists to talk to those of us who elected them. And Gregory wants to go and change that. And so the issues that kind of are the overarching telltale campaign highlights for Gregory is accountability and integrity of Utah's elected officials. That's critical. It's all based on fiscal responsibility, right?
Fiscal responsibility and doing their blankety-blank job. If, like most people don't know this, but there's a group called the Center for Public Integrity that studies all 50 states, and several times in the past, 2012 and 2015, they've come out and they've graded each state on what their public integrity score is. Now, Utah was the home of the 2002 Olympics, and there was a little bit of a scandal around how some of the members of the Olympic Committee were getting bribes. And so those fun kind of things. But unfortunately, we also have that in Washington, D.C. and on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, it just happens in Utah around the Olympics time. It happens in D.C. every day, sir.
Right. Yeah. But back in 2012 and 2015, the score from this Center for Public Integrity, which is run by professional journalists, so they dig through the stats and get the stuff. But while Utah has this internal perception that we are a good people here in the state, according to the Utah Public Integrity Score, we rank as a D minus in 2015, and that dropped from a D in 2012. They have several different categories, and seven of the 15 categories, Utah got an F grade in ethics enforcement and political financing and lobby disclosure, executive accountability, and that falls directly into the state executive is Governor Gary Herbert. That's his baby. He owns that. He got an F for executive accountability. Now, I don't know about the rest of the people out there, but if my child came home from school at any time with a D-minus grade that had seven Fs, they would not see the light of day outside to run and play as normal. But we reelect those same officials every single year to go back and do the same thing, and then we complain about it. What in the world are we thinking? We can change that in 10 days, on November 6th. If you don't like what the incumbent party, the incumbent delegation, the incumbent individual is doing, we as voters have the responsibility to vote them out of office.
Ladies and gentlemen, GregoryC.Dorton.us is the website to learn more about his campaign. We're talking about accountability and integrity of Utah's elected officials. You mentioned that Utah's debt level is unacceptable as well.
Right. Utah's debt level is over $44 million. There's $39.5 million in bonded debt and another $9.9 million in unfunded liabilities that doesn't even show up on any governmental balance sheet. But that makes for every man, woman, and child in the state of Utah is already $12,000 in debt. But what's really disconcerting is you add that to the federal debt, and every man, woman, and child in America is $62,000 in debt. You add the state debt, every citizen in Utah with the federal debt and the state debt is $74,000 in debt. You can get a darn good car or put an amazing down payment on a beautiful home for $74,000. But there's a way to get out from under that. You get people who are properly schooled in how to get rid of debt. Every voter does that every day. They balance their checkbook every month or every week, preferably. But if you don't balance your checkbook, you're going to be in debt. The government is exactly the same in that one regard. They need to balance their checkbook. They need to know what is being spent and what is coming in and make it balance. Our federal government is trillions, more than $24 trillion in debt. That's in 2015, we were 125% of everything that our government produces, our gross domestic product, GDP. People, we are bankrupt as a country. We could not pay that debt off. It would take us longer than if we put everything we produce as a country towards that debt, it would take us a long, long time to try to pay that off. if our debtors would allow us. And who are our debtors? Oh, places like China and Japan are our two biggest debtors. They've got more than $1 trillion of our debt. And there's other countries with smaller amounts, but if we don't pay our debts, what happens? They come and take our home away. They come and take our car away. Hopefully.
Or they exercise the nuclear option, which means take down our financial instruments, and then they eventually wage war if we can't deliver.
Right. They could come in and say, look, we're going to take, we might ask them to take California. No, they're going to come in and take California, Oregon, and Washington as a partial payment on their debt, and they will take over. That's not an uncommon practice. It happens every day in the United States when banks take back their property. It's not unreasonable, but there's a solution. And one thing the Independent American Party is a party of solutions, constitutional solutions. The Green Party won't like this concept, but if we took all of the federal lands in the 11 western states, put it up for sale on 5-acre plots, not allowing corporations or countries or anybody to buy hundreds of millions of acres at a time, but just make 5-acre homestead plots and sold it on the open market. Sam, we could retire the whole $24 trillion debt in 2 years. It won't take us decades. It won't mean enslaving our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren for decades to come. We could eliminate our federal debt. Bam. We could balance our budget in Congress through one radical concept. The agencies that are not constitutionally mandated, we take their budgets and put it back into the general fund. We can't actually economically fire thousands of bureaucrats. So we would have to take those bureaucrats and transfer them. Let them sweep the halls of the Pentagon 2 to 3 times a day. Send them to watch over the missile silos in Montana. Anything that is a constitutionally mandated duty, like national defense, we could put them there and say, this is now your job. And if they don't want to go to the missile silos of Montana, they have an option. They can quit. And then we can take that personnel cost, that manpower cost, put it back into the budget. Sam, we could balance our federal budget like that.
That's certainly one way to do it, ladies and gentlemen. And we know, constitutionally speaking, that all the states in the union were brought in on the equal footing clause, which means the federal government doesn't have authority or rights to that land. You look at the list of appropriate reasons for the federal government to have property, and it's very short and very defined. Intentionally so by our founding father. GregoryC.Dorton.us. Back in seconds.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
All right, GregoryC.Dorton.us, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about somebody running in the state of Utah for the 3rd District to represent us in Washington, D.C. He wants the 15 principles to good government to be the guideline. We want accountability and integrity with Utah officials. We want full-time representation, not just a full-time fundraiser and a part-time guy there. So that's kind of the hallmarks of his campaign. Gregory C. Dorton is running on the Independent American Party. And so I have a policy on this radio program. I don't do takeout pieces on anyone. It's against my religion. It's not what I believe in. There's a lot of talk show hosts that have you on and praise you to high heaven, or they won't have you on at all, or they'll have you on and they'll basically do a takeout piece. And any host that's good and worth their salt's pretty good at debating, pretty good at articulating, pretty good at discussion, and very good at using the breaks to their advantage to chop off the guests and things. I don't do any of that on this radio program. I don't believe in it. Okay. And so, you know what? I've let Gregory talk about the things that relate to his campaign. I've helped get the word out to the best of my ability. And I agree with most of what he has to say. There is something that I have as a concern, though. And I found this online. It's I don't know what it is. It's like the arts group did a survey and, everybody has their own agenda and they do these surveys and they try to trap politicians and such and people running for office. And anyway, Gregory filled out this kind of arts survey about what he believed in and what he would do. And it seems to me as I read it, it's got like 7 or 8 questions on it, that it's not congruent in my mind with the 15 principles to good government or the proper role of government at all. And if we're talking about saving money, anyway, kind of interesting. There's one question that I pulled out of it and it says, should government invest in funding the arts and humanities at fiscally responsible levels? Now, I find that question a little bit of a bait and switch because it's really two questions. In my opinion, they set a trap. Should government invest in funding the arts and humanities is question one. And then they add this part at fiscally responsible levels as if that makes a difference. And the real fundamental question is it right for government to fund the arts and humanities? Yes or no? And then we can debate what sustainable and or responsible levels are. But when they mix this question together, in my opinion, they've kind of set a trap. And as I look through their survey, all the questions are like that. It's like, oh, as long as we're reasonable, is it appropriate? Wait a minute. Is it reasonable? Well, that's not the question. The question is, should government invest in funding the arts and humanities, Gregory?
And that, you're exactly right, Sam. That's a trap. And this is the Council of Culture and Arts in the state of Utah. And the Democrat running for the 3rd District is Jim Singer. And he and I are the only two that got an A-plus grade on this from this organization. And it concerned me when, the Democrat is associated with me and we answer the same questions. But I rationalize this a little bit. Should government invest in funding in arts and humanities? And I agree with you. That should be no. and at physically responsible levels, and that's a non sequitur. That doesn't really matter. But my answer...
And the reason that it doesn't matter is because either fundamentally government has the defensive delegated by the consent of the governed authority to do that, or they do not. And in responsible levels and how much, and we really love the arts, and it's really valuable that we have them, and all the good that the arts do, all those are secondary debatable discussions, and I think noteworthy in many cases, I might fairly add. But that doesn't change the fundamental question. When you dilute it with at responsible levels, then it's kind of like, if I say no, then I'm not for responsible levels of anything. See what I mean? And I'm somehow a nut. I'm not responsible. And so they wordsmith this into, in my opinion, kind of a no-win discussion a little bit. But I'm just saying, I do not believe the government has any delegated authority, number one, constitutional authority, number two, to fund the arts or the humanities or kind of these kind of things. I don't believe it.
So constitutionally, the federal government has absolutely no authority for that. A Tenth Amendment says the federal government has strict enumerated powers, and everything else is delegated to the states and to the people. So should government, now are we talking federal government, state government, local government, should government invest in funding? And the way I rationalized that was, I think state and local government can fund things like the arts and humanities. Private organizations should fund arts and humanities.
And I would take issue with you and say this. The only purpose of government is to protect life, liberty, and property. There is no other purpose for government on the face of the earth. And if government is going to take my money at the point of a government gun, it better only be for those purposes. And I don't really see how the arts and or humanities promote life, liberty, or property. Otherwise, you could kind of go back and say, well, it's okay for food, too, because there's hungry people. And, well, education is really important. In fact, we can't even have a good society without educated people. And, you know, you can back yourself into this offensive push. But what it really means is, can you knock on my door and take my money for this? This is, by the way, one of the 15 principles to good government.
Right.
Can you knock
right.
on my door and get this yourself? And if you can't, you have no business using the government gun to get it done.
And for the federal government, I 100% agree. There's no constitutional authority for it. There's no moral authority. But what about your local municipal government? Can they do that? There's no limitations to that, Sam.
And I would say that if you cannot do it yourself, you shouldn't be able to do it at the point of a government gun, except for if you read Bastiat's The Law, there is a limited elasticity there, if you will, for the proper role of government. In other words, you've got to give up a little bit of liberty to actually have liberty. You got to cooperate in a – in other words, there's a vacuum
community.
There's a vacuum that says, hey, there will be something to fill this political power. And we're only filling the vacuum in this defensive role of government. We're giving up enough liberty to make sure that a greater force doesn't steal more liberty from us. There's this balance that Bastiat's The Law documents. Other than that, you have no business doing it. And if you can do it for arts and humanities, what about for food? What about for the Porsche for the politician? What about when the politician needs a defense fund so he doesn't get busted for sexual harassment? What about, and we go right on down the list is the problem.
And you can do that on the federal level. I would be 100% in your camp. But the 10th Amendment says everything else is delegated to the states and the local from the constitutional rights.
Okay, so let's stop, though, and say that's not right. The power is delegated from we the people. By the consent of the governed, does government get its just power? That's a fundamental principle. And so the Constitution doesn't delegate anything to the people. All the Constitution says is, hey, here's the list of what the feds can do. And anything that's not in the feds' camp is left to the states and to the people, respectively. The people give the power to the states. And we have given no power to the state or to the local municipality for them to steal my money so they can put on a great play.
Oh, but we have. We have. We have a Constitution at every state level. And there are many, many cities within the United States that have a charter, which is a constitution for that community.
Yes, but it can't violate the supreme law, which in the supreme law is issued by God, not by government, not by edict, and not by conflicting government regulations and such. The principle is defensive versus offensive government. And the defensive government says if it's to protect life, liberty, and property and to fill that vacuum with something that can create stability and safety and protection, then that has a proper role. But the second you change that of the affairs of men and create conflicting rules and regulations and guidelines and say we've granted, quote, privilege,
it's no longer the proper role.
You have no authority to grant that privilege. So if it's been done, it violates the fundamental proper role of government, and you lose the moral high ground. Otherwise, I could say, I want a swimming pool. I love swimming more than you love the arts, and I'm going to battle for my big swimming pool and my super, super high diving boards and my, in fact, I want aquatics equipment there, and I want people to be able to learn scuba diving in my pool, and you're off to the races with whose pet project we're going to go for, because you've right. left the defensive role of proper government, and you moved to the offensive abuse of government, all on a, quote, altar of great intentions, but you've lost the moral high ground, though.
But if the people vote for it, is it an improper form of
yes.
government?
Yeah, because the people can vote to take away my gun rights at the federal level and codify it in law and have the courts back it too. It still violates the fundamental proper rule of government.
But you can't on the federal level. It's
why not? What if the people vote for it?
But in the local area, they can vote for that.
But they can do that nationally too.
No, they can't because
what if they do?
They do, but it's improper because they cannot.
Right. So the fundamental principle is the Constitution codifies this reality. It doesn't
right.
separate the proper role of government in by a fence, saying, "Hey, if it relates to the nation, it's this. If we put a fence around it, then it's that. And if we make the fence smaller, then it's this or that." Or okay,
but
the proper role of government is based on sound, godly principles.
It is. It is. But is it meant for local government as well? No, they have charters that are their local constitution, and they can create those charters.
Does anything go if the democracy or the will of the people rule it?
Well, like one of the principles says, even no majority and no government can take away these certain inalienable rights of life, liberty, and property.
Right. So if I have got my bank account and you want to steal it to build an arts facility, I don't think you should be able to, thou shalt not steal, my friend. And it doesn't, the Ten Commandments doesn't say, except for on the local level.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Those are individuals.
So see, what you're doing is splitting hairs using the constitutional reality, but that's secondary to God. It's God, family, and country. And
right.
God says, thou shalt not steal. And my family says, I need the money more than you need it for whatever your agenda is.
Well, I also believe, and I believe the scriptures tell us that the majority won't be wrong as long as they are a righteous group of people following moral law.
And that's the problem. When we violate that commandment, thou shalt not steal, we've lost the righteous moral high ground.
Yep.
And we're in trouble when we do. All right. Anyway, I wanted to bring that up, though, and give you at least a chance to respond to it and kind of create a healthy debate around it. I believe it violates the proper rule of government. I really do.
Okay. All right. Well, I agree with you on the federal level.
And I submit to you the principles of the proper role of government don't have federal or state or national or you know, local municipality. Or in other words, we can slice up words and create documents together. I could create an area around my house and create a document and create an anything goes plan, but it doesn't change the morality of the situation.
That's true. That's true. It's an individual. It eventually comes down to the individual. And are they following the commandments and the proper role of being an individual in this country?
And I don't have authority to give to government or delegate to government something that I don't have over you in the first place.
Yes. Yes.
All right, Greg, give out your website again, sir, then we'll let you fly.
All right. It's GregoryCDuerden.us.
And ladies and gentlemen, when is the election, Greg?
We are 10 days out, November 6th. For those who have mail-in ballots, they can do it anytime, and they could even take a mail-in ballot and hand it to the election judge on November 6th.
Our prayers are with you, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, there he goes, Gregory C. Dorton, GregoryCDorton.us. Thank you, sir. All right, out of time, ladies and gentlemen, LibertyRoundtable.com for live and on-demand radio at your fingertips. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.